This morning, we are thankful, even though we still are under various restrictions and cannot worship in our normal worshiping place, either in the public school or the YMCA here in Central Brooklyn in New York City. But we hope and we pray that the Lord will work, and we believe that He is working for His purpose and His people, as we have studied in this third lesson of God's providence at work, and coming to the second part of three today in this final lesson regarding God working through in our lives through His providence today, as He has promised. We believe that He is working, and we are thankful, and that whatever in His time the answer is, for the church is still struggling and still under duress and still unable to worship in various places in this country and the world, that He will bring forth whatever His purpose is and is bringing forth even now, that we may trust in Him that all good may come to His glory and honor in spite of all evil that is being done. God has promised that His providence is working in our lives today, as we have noted, and we noted Romans 8:28 in the last week's lesson, or in 2 weeks ago's lesson, this being the second part of our lesson. And we noted that God's providence, looking ahead and providing for His people and providing for His purpose, we noted that God worked in the early days of the church till the gospel may be spread throughout Jerusalem and beyond, even in spite of fierce persecution that was instigated or that was eventually led by the Saul of Tarsus, one of the young, zealous Pharisees who later became the Apostle Paul, the Lord's providence working by His gospel, that Paul became a Christian, became the persecuted, and became one of the great teachers of the gospel by the grace of God, even to the Gentile world. And God brought the church out of persecution to peace for a period of time, and the gospel spread through that instrument that once had been persecuting His people, the Apostle Paul. And so now, seeing that God's providence has worked in that way, we turn to another example, and then next week, the Lord willing, we'll turn to various scriptures that indicate to us that God's providence is working in our lives today. But today we focus on the Apostle Paul, and how God's providence has worked to bring Paul to Jerusalem to help the needy saints with contributions from the Gentile churches, and how God brought the Apostle Paul to Rome, as He promised that He would. And in the midst of God doing this, it took several years for God to bring it about. There were many ups and downs. There were many choices that were made, many of which were evil against the Apostle Paul. But in spite of all, God brought forth His purpose and brought Paul to Jerusalem and brought him to Rome through prayers and through a series of actions, many of which were done by people who did not even know God or thought they were serving God, but did so in the wrong way. And yet God brought it about so that His purpose might go forth. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, at the end of near the end of Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul appeals to the brethren that they pray for him. And he's very specific about what they should pray. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, "Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together, to agonize together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. So Paul is very specific. Verse 33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. But he prays that he may be rescued from his enemies. That would be the Jews as well as the Romans. He prays that he will be brought to Jerusalem to bring forth the gift to the needy saints that has been given by the predominantly Gentile churches. And then he prays that he may be brought to Rome, that he may enjoy the company and fellowships of the saints in the most prominent city of the Roman Empire, where he had never been as of yet. He prays that he may come there, that he may be built up, and that he may build up the saints. So how did God bring this about? By his providence, looking ahead, providing for his purpose, working out good in spite of evil. Well, this is part of what happened as we look at it in Acts chapter 21 and verse 17. Acts chapter 21 and verse 17, after we arrived in Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And so Paul, after several years, arrives in Jerusalem, and he recounts, looking back a couple of years, a little bit of time later, as he is talking before the governor Felix, and we'll get into more of that in just a moment. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 17, now after several years I came to bring alms to my nation, and to present offerings. That is, he came to provide a contribution for the needy saints in Jerusalem, in which they found me occupied in the temple, having been purified without any crowd or uproar. But there were some Jews from Asia who ought to have been present before you and to make accusation if they should have anything against me. Paul said, I was in Jerusalem, and the Jews came against me, and they made evil accusations against me. And we go back to chapter 21 of Acts in verse 27, the actual account. When the 7 days were almost over, the Jews from Asia, upon seeing him in the temple, began to stir up all the crowd and laid hands on him. You know, the scriptures warn us about not following a multitude to do evil in the book of Exodus. I think we read that. Do not follow a multitude to do evil. There are some people that all they are good for is to get stirred up by others. And we see that today going on in our country through various riots, protests, and so forth, people getting stirred up. And usually they get stirred up to do destruction, to destroy things and destroy people that are not even involved in what they're talking about or what they say they're talking about, and they do various things. But many people just sit around until they are stirred up, and then they are used for whatever purpose is being done. Usually not according to what they say they are doing. But the point is, the Jews in Asia, from Asia, that had caused problems to the Apostle Paul in the East, are now in Jerusalem, and they stir up everybody against the Apostle Paul. For what reason? For no good reason. For no good reason. But just because they hated Paul and that he had become a traitor, as they saw it, to the Jewish law, and he had become an apostle primarily to the Gentiles. Acts 21 and verse 28, crying out, Men of Israel, come to our aid. This is the man who preaches to all men everywhere against our people and the law and this place. And besides, he has even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. And so they are throwing every false accusation against the Apostle Paul that they can think of, none of which is true. Acts 21 and verse 31, while they were seeking to kill him, a report came up to the commander of the Roman cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. At once he took along some soldiers and centurions and ran down to them, and when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander came up and took hold of him and ordered him to be bound with two chains, and he began asking who he was and what he had done. And so here is the Apostle Paul, rescued by this idolatrous Roman commander, attacked by his evil kinsmen, the Jews, falsely accused, almost murdered, rescued by this idolater. None of these people are serving God, but yet God uses the actions to bring about the rescue of the Apostle Paul. Is that what he asked the Romans to pray for, that he might be rescued from his enemies? Yes, it was. Then while he is under the custody of the commander, in Acts 22 and verse 25, but when they stretched him out with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" Here Paul is appealing to the Roman soldier. Is this how you treat a Roman citizen born in the free city of Tarsus? Is this how you treat someone, doing them like this, abusing them without them being officially charged or condemned? Acts 22 and verse 29. Therefore those who were about to examine him immediately let go of him. And the commander also was afraid when he found out that he was a Roman, and because he had put him in chains. That was against Roman law, to treat a Roman citizen in such a way, to chain, to scourge, to abuse them. Without them being condemned, they had certain rights that other people may not have had, and they were acting in the wrong way, and Paul appealed to that, and they began acting differently. Did they want to serve God? No, they didn't have any notion about serving God, but God is using these decisions to bring about his good purpose, and let the journey of Paul to Rome continue, even though his life is threatened in Jerusalem. In Acts 23 and verse 6, the Jews come down and he lets Paul again speak to his Jewish kinsmen who have become his enemies. In Acts 23 and verse 6, but perceiving that one group were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, Paul began crying out in the council, "Brethren, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am on trial for the hope and resurrection of the dead." As he said this, there occurred a dissension between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor an angel, nor a spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. And there occurred a great uproar, and some of the scribes of the Pharisees, Pharisaic party, stood up and began to argue heatedly, saying, "We find nothing wrong with this man. Suppose a spirit or an angel has spoken to him." And as a great dissension was developing, the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them, and ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. So here again, the Apostle Paul, verse 11 of chapter 23, "But on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, 'Take courage, for as you have solemnly testified to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also.'" And so the Apostle Paul divided the enemies along lines of belief, the resurrection, angels and spirits, which his former fellow Pharisees heartily believed, and then the Sadducees denied. They had combined together to try to kill Paul, but now the divisions are brought back into their minds and they begin to fight against one another. And the commander sees all of this and he takes Paul away, again rescuing Paul from his enemies. Even though he has no concern about serving God, he rescues Paul from his enemies again. And the angel tells Paul that the Lord tells Paul that you will be with me. The Lord tells Paul that he will be in Rome. Paul doesn't know how he's going to get there, in spite of all the turmoil, or how long it's going to take, but the Lord says, "You're going to go." And he brings it about through his providence, looking ahead and providing for Paul and for his purpose in spite of all evil that is being done. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 16, "But the son of Paul's sister heard of their ambush," that is, that the Jews were plotting again to kill the Apostle Paul. They had sworn that they would not eat or drink unless he was killed, and they would plan an ambush when they asked the commander to bring Paul down again to speak to them. Paul's nephew finds out about it, John Mark, and he came and entered the barracks and told Paul. Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, "Lead this young man to the commander, for he has something to report to him." And when he goes to the commander and reports to him, the commander then makes a decision to provide a massive armed escort to bring the Apostle Paul from Jerusalem to the coast of Israel, Palestine, where the political seat of government was, the Roman governor, that is, in Caesarea, named after, of course, Caesar. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 23, "And he called to him two of the centurions and said, 'Get 200 soldiers ready by the third hour of the night to proceed to Caesarea with 70 horsemen and 200 spearsmen. They were also to provide mounts to put Paul on and bring him safely to Felix, the governor," that is, in the city of Caesarea, "to do that by night." And again, God uses these idolatrous men who are not serving God in any way, but the decision is made to bring Paul to Caesarea in safety to the governor Felix, another step on his journey from Jerusalem to Rome by the providence of God. As he appeared before Felix, Paul preached the gospel. He did not waste his time, but he used his time wisely, a challenge to us under these restrictions even that we have because of this so-called pandemic. And we are to use our time wisely. Paul was to use his time wisely, and he did so every time he had a chance to preach the gospel even to those leaders, such as the governor at that time, Felix. Acts 24 and verse 24, but some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you." The King James mentions, "When there is a more convenient time, I will summon you." But he didn't want to hear about the judgment to come. He didn't want to hear about restraining himself and about faith in Jesus. But that's what Paul brought before him, the power of the gospel to be saved, this prisoner being falsely accused and suffering, restriction of his freedom and threatening of his life, was preaching the gospel to this powerful governor, Roman governor Felix. In verse 26, Acts 24, at the same time too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. But after 2 years, is that what it says? Yes. After 2 years of this back and forth with Felix in Caesarea, God is working to bring Paul to Rome, but the timetable is God's. And this time it was after 2 years. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul imprisoned. So now, after 2 years, Felix is replaced by Festus, another Roman governor. And he brings forth Paul also. God is working, but it tests the patience of Paul. It tests our patience as well. But Paul, we've been under these restrictions a few months. We may be under them for I don't know how long. But do I believe God is working? Yes, I believe God is working. I believe God's purpose is going forward. I believe God's purpose cannot be defeated, but I believe God works in his own way, in his own time. And he will bring Paul to Rome, but it will take years, not because God cannot do it instantly, but God is working in his own way, in his own time. As Paul speaks before Festus, Acts 25 and verse 9, but Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me on these charges?" But Paul said, "I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, and you also very well know. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of those things is true of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then when Festus had conferred with his council, he answered, "You have appealed to Caesar? To Caesar you shall go." Well, where was Caesar? Caesar was in Rome. The Emperor Nero, one of the most vicious, insane, terrible, murderous men that had ever ruled Rome, was on the throne. And Paul said, "I appeal to Caesar." As a Roman citizen, he had the right. "I'm not going back to Jerusalem to the Jews. If you follow Roman law, Then I appealed to Caesar, and Festus said to Caesar, you shall go. Where did God want Paul? In Rome. Where did Paul appeal? To Caesar. Where was Caesar? In Rome. But again, the journey to Rome was not smooth. It involved a life-threatening shipwreck. A life-threatening shipwreck that the Lord told Paul, you're going to survive and all that are with you are going to survive, but the ship will be destroyed. In the midst of a terrifying storm. Acts chapter 27 and verse 21. When they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. And so God brings Paul through the shipwreck, verse 25. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on a certain island. And so God brings Paul and his company through the shipwreck. And they are picked up by another ship after their ship is destroyed and they come to that island. They are picked up by another ship, and eventually Paul, by the grace and mercy and providence of God, is brought to Rome, where God intended him to be. A prisoner, but still God brings him to Rome for his own purpose. Acts 28 and verse 16, when we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him, chained to the Roman soldier in his own rented quarters. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 30, at the close of the book of Acts, and he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. So Paul, brought to Rome by God after being brought to Jerusalem to carry the contribution for the needy saints, attacked by the Jews, brought to Caesarea, then brought to Rome, appealing to Caesar after shipwreck. God brings him to Rome. And now, 2 years in Rome, Paul, a prisoner, still is preaching the gospel, still encouraging brethren by writing those letters, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon's, and Philippians. And in that book of Philippians, we see a great passage about the providence of God at work in the life of the Apostle Paul. In spite of the evil that was done to him, for all types of reasons, the gospel is going forward under whatever condition. Philippians 1 and verse 12. Paul, writing from his rented house, a chain to a Roman guard in Rome. Philippians 1 and verse 12, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Now, the Praetorian Guard, the special forces that guarded Caesar and his prisoners and the household of Caesar, They had become aware, and some had even become obedient to the gospel. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Even the brethren are encouraged. They see me in my condition speaking the gospel. They are encouraged to speak the gospel. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. Paul said some do it for good motives, some for evil. But he says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I praise God that the gospel is spreading in spite of all evil being done, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul said, I praise God in whatever circumstance I am, or even in death, that God may be glorified, Christ may be exalted and magnified in my body. And that is what we should seek. In spite of all that is taking place during this pandemic, that God may be glorified in our minds and bodies, that his purpose may go forth no matter what. How can that happen? In Philippians 1 and verse 21, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is, my purpose is to live for Christ, and dying will only be better because I will be with Christ. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. And who can argue with that? To be in eternal glory with Christ is far better than anything, than the best that earth can bring. And certainly the worst that earth can bring. To be with him is very much better in eternal glory. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. That is, God has a purpose for me to remain, that you may be edified and encouraged. We stand amazed at the providence of God working as we look at the summary slide and have to call this lesson to an end, Lord willing, coming to the last part next Sunday, looking at some passages that more specifically relate to our lives and how God works in our lives, even though sometimes, many times, we do not see it. God has promised his providence to work, looking ahead and providing for his people and his purpose to bring good out of evil. His providence worked to spread the gospel in Jerusalem and beyond, in spite of persecution. His providence worked to bring the Apostle Paul to Jerusalem and Rome in spite of all opposition from the Jews, and in spite of some mistreatment even from the Romans, as well as some good treatment from the Romans. God worked all of these things, even a storm that they survived, a shipwreck, to bring Paul to Rome because he wanted Paul to go there, to preach the gospel, to encourage the brethren, by the word of God and to spread the gospel to the lost, even some in Caesar's household. And God brought it about in his own way, in his own time. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I don't think I could make it through these times of difficulty and restrictions, not being able to worship God in New York City as we desire to worship above all. And if a door is open, that we are ready to walk through it in spite of whatever troubles we might face from anyone. If I did not think that God is not working his purpose for good, in spite of all evil that is being done, even in this darkened place that is abandoning God right and left, even more than they already were, if I did not think God's purpose is working, I do not think I could continue one more day in his service. But I believe his purpose is working. I have no doubt. I don't know all in relation to his purpose, but I know God is working. And I know his purpose, if it could not be defeated by the Jews or Romans against Paul, against Christ, and against the apostles, against his church, then I know that it cannot be defeated today in spite of these leaders that are doing their devilment. I know that they cannot defeat God. They can cause suffering even for God's people, but let us be sufferers that continue to trust God and rejoice and become more like Christ and dependent on him to bring about his purpose day by day. And even that some who are opposed to God may become Christians and may turn their lives to him and might turn away from these things. We are thankful for our time together. We look forward to the conclusion of this lesson next Sunday. And we're thankful that God is working his purpose in our lives. If you're here today and not a child of God, we would encourage you to come and obey the gospel. And if we can assist you here in Brooklyn, in New York City, or if we can find someone to assist you wherever you may be, if you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that he and the Father and the Holy Spirit are God, that he died for your sins and was raised from the dead and is at the right hand of God, ruling over heaven and earth, if you believe that, repent of your sins. Turn away from those things to God. Confess him as the Son of God before men and be baptized, immersed in water in the name of Jesus by his authority for the remission, the forgiveness of your sins by his grace through his blood. Come up out of that water, buried with Christ, dead to sin, made alive to God by the grace of God. Ready to have your mind renewed by the word of God day by day to learn how to worship and work with a local church, a local congregation, and live as a Christian day after day. And those who are already Christians, let us repent and pray day by day and use our time that we are given by the grace of God, who generously forgives us as we repent and pray and confess our sins before him. Use our time in his service more wisely, even under duress that we are suffering now. We encourage all, wherever you may be, to obey the gospel. And we encourage all of us to continue forward in this service by his grace. The lesson is ours to apply. We're thankful for all. And we pray and we encourage all that we might go forward in obedience to his will.